Does anyone know what the name Jesus Christ means?
Anointed to deliver?
Right. The whole name means anointed to deliver. Okay. Christ comes from the Greek and Hebrew words, which means anointed. So back in the ancient days, when the prophets poured oil on a person's head and anointed him to be king, he was Christed, so to speak. Because he was anointed to be king of Israel, and that's what they did. They anointed them and Christed them to be the new king or a position of some type. And so that's where the name Christ comes from. And there were many Christs mentioned in the Old Testament. David was called a Christ. Samson was called a Christ. King Cyrus, who was a non-Israelite, was called a Christ. Jesus was not the only Christ. Matter of fact, even in the King James Version, which is amazing that it gets it right at all, says, to us this day is born a Savior. It doesn't say the Savior. It says, it is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Okay? So the Bible bears this out, that Jesus was not the only one that was called Christ. A lot of people were called Christ. A lot of people were called gods. Moses was called a god. The judges that Moses set up were called Elohim or gods. And they judged the people. And it's mistranslated as judges, because when the translators started translating that, and it says the gods among the people, that doesn't sound right. We've got to come up with another word for this. So they come up with judges. So everywhere you read judges in the Old Testament, it's really translated from the word Elohim, which is gods. The same word that is used in God created the heaven and the earth. Same word. Okay. So the gods ruled among the people in the days of Moses, in other words. So, and I have a whole book written on this. It's called The Gods of the Bible. Matter of fact, Israel itself is an interesting word. It means to prevail as God, or to prevail against God even. What happened? The reason Jacob was called Israel, his original word was called, name was called Jacob, which is means upsurger. In other words, he was, he replaced Esau as the firstborn. And so because he had a destiny to do this, he was called Jacob, which means a person that replaces the authority of a person that is supposed to be the designated authority or designated usurper? Position. What? Usurper? Yeah, usurper is the word I'm looking for. So he it basically means usurper. Get the right word there. My wife gives me a bad time. I always massacre words. But so he was originally named Jacob until he was traveling along and he met this being and he wrestled with him throughout the night and he beat him. He out wrestled the guy. And so the person who was identified in the scriptures as a god said to Jacob, oh, because you got the best of me, I'm going to change your name to Israel, which means to prevail as a god. So he prevailed as a god because he wrestled a god and he beat this god. So because he beat up a god, he was called Israel, which means to prevail as a god or to be able to prevail against a god. Okay, so Jacob, so very few people understand that Israel actually has this this meaning. Now, the Orthodox translation is a little bit different. They say, well, it means Prince of God. Or so they take these words that are definitely have meanings like this, and the translators look at them and they say, man, that can't mean that. So it's got to mean something else. So they come up with a translation that sounds good but isn't the real translation.
So Israel means you beat God.
No, to prevail as God. to prevail. With God, right.
And one. So it's like saying, okay, so now I'm going to change your name to You Prevailed Against God.
In other words, he became the father of Israel, and the destiny of Israel was to prevail as God prevails. And that was what the hope of Israel was, that they would do this. Now, Christ is the same way. There are many persons in the Old Testament identified as Christ. And Christ merely means anointed, and Jesus Christ means anointed to deliver. Now, anointed to deliver, the name itself is a principle. In other words, there's a prophecy in one of the latter books of the Old Testament, Obadiah. It says that saviors will appear on Mount Zion. Saviors. In other words, on Mount Zion, when the gathering takes place, saviors will be there to deliver people. People that are anointed to deliver will appear on Mount Zion in the last days, so to speak. So, there's just not one Jesus Christ, but there's many. And this is the reason that all the churches are taught, and it's taught in the scriptures, that we're supposed to take upon us the name of Jesus Christ. When Jesus sat around at the Last Supper and commanded the people, the disciples, to eat the bread in remembrance of him and to drink the wine in remembrance of his blood, and that was so that they could take upon themselves his name symbolically, okay, so that he wouldn't be the only one anointed to deliver, but the disciples would be anointed to deliver too. So all the disciples that participated with him in the Last Supper, except for Judas, became anointed to deliver. And it's a principle of salvation, of true salvation, by the true meaning of the word, that materializes throughout the entire universe among all intelligent beings. And it's basically this, is that when you progress to a certain degree, you don't want to be there all alone. In other words, if you progress so that you go into the heavenly kingdoms and the heavenly vibrations, and there's these wonderful cities and castles and gold and all these precious, beautiful things to see, these parks and everything or whatever, and you're all alone, well, what fun is that? You have to, like, turn around, and you want to find some people to come up there with you. And this is what happens, is as we progress, we don't want to be there all alone. If you progress and you leave your friends behind, you leave your family behind, you leave everybody behind that's fun to be with, well, you want to turn around and say, hey, I want you to come with me. Do you want to go on a cruise just all by yourself, or do you want to bring your spouse, your friends, your family? If you can bring people with you, it will always be better. And this is a principle of Christ, is that Jesus didn't want to just go into the kingdom of God all by himself. That's no fun. He wanted to take people with him. And this is why he was anointed to deliver, and to be anointed to deliver is a principle. And that principle is this, is that when you progress, it's a natural tendency. If you want to progress farther, you have to turn around and pull the guy behind you up to where you are. And then something miraculous will happen. Somebody above you will turn around, take your hand, and say, well, because you helped the guy behind you, you are worthy of my help. And so the one that gets help, when the one, the Christed one, steps forward and progresses and turns around, and there's three people to help, and maybe he can only help one at this time, who's he going to help? He's going to help the one that's most likely to turn around and help the one behind him, because he wants a chain. So he grabs the hand of one, the person grabs the hand of the one behind him, and it produces the chain, and he pulls the whole chain forward. People with the Christ consciousness have a natural inclination to use the Christ principle. In other words, once you achieve soul contact, you'll have a natural inclination to use the principle of Jesus Christ and turn around and help those below you, and also look forward to somebody eventually lifting you up and taking you higher. But you don't want to put a lot of attention on that, because if you put attention on that, it's not likely to happen. What usually happens is then when you're in the middle of helping people to move up higher, and you've completely lost yourself in that, that is the time when you're not expecting it, that you will have something happen. Some being in the physical or non-physical will come to you and pull you up higher. It's like it says in the scriptures, you know not what hour it is that your master will appear, so be ready. Okay. It says there's no other name to be saved, and that the name of Jesus Christ is the highest name that is given to any being under heaven. That's what it says in the Bible. It's the highest name. Well, the interesting thing about Jesus, he said he wasn't the highest. He said that the Father is greater than me. So how could Jesus have the highest name if he wasn't the highest? It's because the Father has the same name. In other words, the Father is anointed to deliver. Jesus is anointed to deliver. And to have that title of being one who is anointed to deliver, that is turning around, pulling his fellow men up to a higher level, there's no higher calling than that. That's the highest calling any of us can have. And that is represented by the name of Jesus Christ. And that name is the highest name under heaven given to anybody. In other words, if you are a Jesus Christ and working with the same mission that Jesus did, it says this also in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 15. It tells us that by one Spirit we're all baptized into one life, which is the body of Christ, into one body. We're all baptized into one body, and that one body is Christ. So it says the body is composed of many members, the hands, the feet, and it says that Jesus is the head of the body, but other parts of us, we're like hands and feet and eyes, and all of us are members of the one body, and that one body, it says, is Christ. Now, where was Jesus? Jesus was the head. The being that we call Jesus was the head. But all of us are part of the body, and the body as a whole is Christ. Okay, so Jesus isn't all there is to Christ. Christ is the whole body, of which the Christ that was in Jesus was the head being representing the body of Christ. And so that's a very good question. And that name that is represented by anointed to deliver is the highest name anywhere. The Father of Jesus and his Father beyond him, every high being in the universe is anointed to deliver. Of the Ancient of Days, it is written that he came to the earth and he turned his back on the sun so that he could become a sun and shine his light on his fellow brothers that needed his help. In other words, he turned his back on the sun. What did that mean? It meant that he had opportunities to learn and progress ahead, but he turned his back on the sun so that he could become a sun and help out his fellow travelers. And he is committed to stay here, it says, until the last weary pilgrim finds his way home. And that is a profound statement when you think about it. The last weary pilgrim finds his way home. And that's what the name of Christ represents, is to help the weary pilgrims behind us. Because we are all weary pilgrims from one sense of the word, is that almost everybody you talk to has about all they can handle in this life. And one of the joys that they experience is when somebody takes a minute and gives them a helping hand and pulls them up higher. It can be anything from helping when they got a flat tire, to helping them when they lost a loved one, to helping them when they're just searching, or helping them when they're just feeling empty. But to turn around and turn your back on the sun, deny your own progress, and then help somebody else is the highest calling that any of us can take upon ourselves. I apologize for getting emotional, but it's funny that I've often spoke those words and didn't feel emotional at all, but when you, and this is related to the one of the keys we're going to talk about tomorrow, the new key of knowledge, is that when you identify with the actual power in the words and connect with that spiritual energy, it touches emotions in you which you didn't even think you had sometimes. And I'm not really an emotional person overall. Tremendous emotional things can go on around me and I'm completely unaffected. But when it comes to the spiritual energy, the spiritual energy is so powerful that it even made the greatest of us all, the Master, weep on a number of occasions. And he was the most powerful of us all. So how do we take upon ourselves the name of Christ and rely on the name of Christ as the scriptures say? Do we just say, I accept the name of Christ, or I accept baptism? Does that do it? No, these are all symbolic gestures. They don't really do anything. What really does it is when you take upon yourself the actual meaning of the name of Christ. The name of Christ means, or Jesus Christ, means anointed to save. To take upon yourself the name of Christ, you must be anointed to save yourself. What does it mean to be anointed to save? Well, when you're anointed in the old days, and in the Old Testament Bible, you had oil poured on your head, and you were anointed to be like a king or have a certain position. And the oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Now, the name Jesus means, of course, to save or to lift up or to deliver. So what the name basically tells us, if we take upon ourselves the name of Christ, we are anointed by the Holy Spirit, have the Holy Spirit come within us to the degree that we will reach out to our brethren that need help and seek with all of our power and strength to deliver them, to pull them up to where we are. Those that have not progressed to where we are, we reach out a helping hand and pull them up and help them. Jesus once said, "Who will be found on my right hand?" He who will be found on my right hand are those who, when I was in prison, they came to me. They give me drink, they give me food, and they give me help when I was in need. These are they who will be found on my right hand. Those who are on my left hand are those who refused to deliver such a person. When we take upon ourselves the name of Christ, we reach out and we help those less fortunate or less advanced than ourselves, and we pull them up to where we are. If we say that we have the name of Christ, and we have taken upon ourselves the name of Christ, but then we pass by those that need help, or we do not strengthen ourselves so that we can help, then we have not really taken upon ourselves the name of Christ. Or perhaps I should say Jesus Christ, because the whole name implies this meaning that I'm talking about. So if you take upon yourself the name of Jesus Christ, it means that you have taken upon yourself the responsibility to reach out to those below you, or that are below you on the path, or below you in circumstances, and pull them up to where you are. And that is what is meant by taking upon yourself the name of Jesus Christ, to reach out to those in need and pull them up to where you are. And this is the chain. If everybody did this, if everyone took upon themselves the name of Jesus Christ and did that one thing, then everyone would receive the assistance they need. Not everyone, maybe you'd have a bonus, because a lot of those that are willing to help others are kind of in need themselves. And you'll often find this to be the case, that those who are most willing to help others are often those who are struggling themselves. Oftentimes, those who are least willing to help others are those who are in abundance and have a lot of power, but they just don't feel that others deserve it. There's no rule of thumb on this, but if everyone reaches out and helps those who need it, and I'm not just talking about financially. Financially is one way, or feeding somebody, or helping the homeless, or helping your kids that are struggling, or something like this. If every one of us just helped our kids that were struggling, that would be a big help to the world right there. Whenever we help someone, you never know what kind of chain reaction it may set. It may alter their lives, or it may alter their lives a little bit, and then that little bit may add up to them doing something to change somebody else's life that will add up to a lot. So you just never know how you're going to influence people. I've had people I hadn't seen for a while tell me that I've influenced their lives and I didn't even remember doing anything, you know. And so oftentimes, if you just have the habit of just trying to do the right thing, you may not even remember the effect you've had on people, but it may turn out to be something that will create a butterfly effect for the better. Because not all butterfly effects happen like in the story. In the story, the guy comes back and the butterfly effect created a Nazi-type government in charge of the world. Well, a butterfly effect can create peace on earth, goodwill to men. So what we want to do is concentrate on working on the good butterfly effect.
Thanks for listening to the New Age Christian Synthesis podcast. If what you heard rang true and you'd like to find out more, please visit J.J. Dewey's website at freeread.com. That's FREEREAD.com.